You got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me.
Celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest with the all-new Pixar-themed fireworks spectacular and your favorite park parades. Celebrate from April 13th through September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
You've got a friend in me.
Entertainment subject to change without notice.
From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Travel Show. I'm Jason Cochran.
And I'm Pauline Fromer.
And you are in for a very informative and positive hour in which we talk all about travel. Your plans, your questions, your stories. The number for that is 800-848-9222. You can also reach us at Twitter. We keep an eye on that. That's at Fromers, F-R-O-M-M-E-R-S. Or if you're shy, you can email us. We look at those too. It's Fromer Travel Show at yahoo.com. And you might have heard Pauline is not in studio. She is traveling. Pauline, I know you're going to make everybody jealous when you reveal where you are. Let's just get it over. We'll pull off the Band-Aid. Tell us where you are.
Well, today it truly is from Paris to Portland. And no, I'm not in Portland. I'm in Paris. I'm in the City of Light. And it's freezing cold here, but really wonderful. And so the question of the day today is, help me out. What are some of your favorite sights or experiences that you've had in Paris? Give us a call, 800-848-9222, and share your Paris memories, your Paris advice. We would love to hear it. Or give us a call with your questions on travel to Paris or elsewhere, 800-848-9222.
Yeah, I'll add, if you haven't been to Paris, but there's somewhere in Paris you've always dreamed about and wish you could go, throw that in. Tell us about it. 800-848-9222. Pauline, you missed a humdinger of a snowstorm here in New York, but it was amazing because the next day the snow had just vanished, as if it never even happened. So the weather's been cold there, but is spring on the wing in Paris?
Well, it was a little warmer today. Yeah, I knew that snowstorm was going to happen, so I was really proactive. I actually moved my flight until earlier in the day on Tuesday, once that was allowed by the airlines, and they didn't contact me to tell me to do that. I think it's a really good message, because I met a lot of people today. I took a cooking class who got stuck in New York, who had to either were flying from somewhere else in the country and had to stay overnight, or didn't get out and lost a day of their vacation. So watch the weather and be proactive. Often the airlines will let you switch for no fee, but you got to be the one to tell them you want to do that.
Yeah, you know, I've heard more and more stories about the airlines not being proactive about letting people know that there's going to be a cancellation. I had a friend this week who didn't know until he received a text that the flight was completely canceled. And by that time, so many other people had called ahead and done it. And another friend said that the list on JetBlue wasn't a complete list of all the airlines that was actually enabling change fee-free flight changes. You know, so the information even on the websites wasn't up to date. So it's good advice that Pauline has. Call the airlines directly and keep one eye on weather.com or whatever you use for weather if there's going to be something coming up. We have our first call.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be Todd from Manhattan. Todd, hi. You're live on the Travel Show. How can we help you out?
Hi. Good afternoon, Jason, Pauline. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm planning a trip this December for a couple of weeks to Manchester, England. I'm looking for some family there. And I wanted an itinerary. What would you do? I want to stay city center. I'm really not looking forward to renting a car. I'd like to get the most out of it by using mass transit, if possible. And then I was going to venture down to London and then head to the Caribbean. But anyway, It would be approximately a two-week stay during the Christmas holiday. And if you would have a recommendation, like I said, some sort of, you know, a tour or something that, you know, maybe to get outside of Manchester,
sure,
where I would be, you know, well, something along those.
Now, Manchester itself isn't packed with famous tourist destinations, although it is a very healthy, vibrant, interesting city, kind of the place you would probably want to move if you were in your 20s or 30s now and you had to move to the UK. It's a real cool place to be, but just not packed with the kinds of things to see that London is. Now, mind you, it's only a couple hours from by train from London, so a lot of people will fly into London where they can find cheaper deals than to Manchester, where fewer flights go, and so therefore the airfare tends to be a little higher. But if you find a good deal into Manchester, of course, you should grab it. But there's a lot to do around the city. Liverpool is less than an hour away by train. In fact, some people commute between the two. And Liverpool has really, now you talk about a city that's come alive recently. Liverpool is so interesting now. They've got their own Tate Gallery. They've completely updated the waterfront with museums and with other galleries and places to eat. They've come such a long way since their industrial roots, and they're very proud of the city, and quite rightly. On the other side of Manchester, now we're talking to the east, you find the Peak District National Park. Great for little hikes, for some incredibly beautiful views that you wouldn't even believe that were part of the English countryside. And south of town, you find, you know, Stratford-on-Avon, which, of course, is the home of the Bard. It's where people go to learn about the life of Shakespeare and maybe spend a day or two seeing the Royal Shakespeare Company do one of their many productions. So there's a lot to do in that zone. But on Christmas, you want to be careful because Christmas will be dead. Boxing Day, which is the after Christmas, will be dead. So don't include those in any touring plans because a lot of things are going to be closed. Pauline, do you have anything to throw into this mix?
No, I really want to second what you say. Make sure you have reservations for restaurants on those days because a lot of restaurants will close too. Britain shuts down over Christmas. So be careful or you're going to be end up, I don't know.
Yeah. She has to be
snacking on energy bars.
That's wonderful advice. Now, would Liverpool, and I don't know if you're familiar with Bolton at all, but that's where I have some family roots, and I wanted to explore that area a bit. But is Liverpool, would that be considered, would you do that as a day trip, or would you try to stay there for a day and take in all of Liverpool for a day or two? Or,
well, now, it's feasible as a day trip because it's so quick by commuter train to Manchester, but I think there's a lot to do in Liverpool overnight. I mean, don't forget, this is where the Beatles were born, and they won't let you forget it. But that's because there's a club culture. There's a lot of music there, and they still nurture it. There's still a lot happening at night. Some of them are, unfortunately, Beatles tribute bands, although they're good, but there's other stuff happening. So it's definitely worth staying overnight in Liverpool, but you don't have to. It's easy to make it a day trip from Manchester without any trouble. And by the way, you don't need a car. Everywhere, pretty much, you're going to go, unless you're going into a national park to hike, you'll be able to use a train or a bus, and even a bus in the national park sometimes, too. So don't worry about having your own car.
Yeah, Jason Pauline, that was a very important thing for me, that I would be able to utilize mass transit solely, whether it be to get to London or Liverpool or around Greater Manchester itself. So you're saying that it's perfectly feasible that I would be able to do this without the use of a rent-a-car?
Unquestionably. Almost every place you choose will be accessible by train or by regular bus. It's not a problem. And in the towns, there's lots of tours that are going to be sold to you at your hotels or wherever you won't be at a hotel, but you go around. It's easy to find tours as well. Yes, Pauline?
And the interesting thing I've found in Paris is Uber has been cheaper than the taxis. I've been mostly taking public transportation, but there have been times when I've looked at my Uber app and realized that I'm traveling with two other people, but for the three of us taking the metro, it's cheaper to take Uber, and so we've just grabbed an Uber and gone. I believe it's the same in the UK, so that's another option you have for getting around.
Yes, outside of London. London and Uber are not getting along at the moment, and they may not be in London for long, but I don't think that's the situation yet in Manchester. Todd, I hope this helps. We really hope you have a fantastic time this December, and give us a call. Tell us all about the city once you've seen it. We're going to move on to Marcy from Fort Lee. Marcy, hi, you're live on the Travel Show. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the call. First of all, I want to recommend my favorite spot in Paris, the Museum d'Orsay. I love always going up there and seeing Monet's water lilies. But right outside, there's...
The Monet's water lilies are in the Orangerie.
Oh, the last time I was there, they were there.
Well, go to both.
Okay.
We'll go to both. But right outside the Museum d'Orsay is this great little cart that has these excellent French sandwiches. So I wanted to recommend that to you, both lunch and the museum. They're both good sites. But I wanted to ask a question. So we're taking a cruise, and we're going to be in the Bahamas, Nassau, for a day. Is there an excursion that you recommend?
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Pauline, do you remember what our final judgment on Nassau's port was?
Well, I think our final judgment is either just go to a beach or go to Atlantis. That's what people tend to do, and Atlantis is a big, gaudy, fun resort. It's not really a place you go for history or culture. I wouldn't waste my money on a history tour.
It's super touristy in Nassau. I mean, they're so used to so many cruises coming through that it's hard to find something truly authentic anymore.
But the beaches are right nearby.
Yeah, if you take an excursion to Atlantis, for example, it's on one of the best beaches on that island. And there's another, the one and only resort is further down the beach. So you can get off at Atlantis and just go up and down this long, pillowy white beach without having to go into Atlantis unless you really want to. It's a great way to use it to get to the beach. Yeah, you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Take a taxi just to the beach.
Yeah, won't be much. Everyone's going to be asking to go because so many people from the cruises go to Atlantis.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Have a wonderful time, Marcy. Thanks for your recommendation.
Au revoir.
Let's turn next. Au revoir. let's to Dave in Wyckoff, New Jersey. Hey, Dave. Thanks for calling.
No, we have Dave from Forest Hills. Hi, Dave.
Oh, hi. Okay. How are you guys?
Hi.
I have a question for you. I have a little dilemma. I'm going to Hong Kong, and I decided to take a side trip one day to Shenzhen, which is right nearby. So I applied for a visa. I typed it up. I went to the consulate. They rejected it because they said I have to have an itinerary of where I'm staying overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I said to them, I don't want to stay overnight. I just want to spend the day. She said, no, you have to have a written reservation, printed up reservation. I said, well, what if I bring that in and then I cancel my reservation after I get the visa? And she just looked at me and smiled.
Yeah, that's right. That's what she's not telling you because she can't tell you. She'd lose her job. That's what you do. You make a reservation for a hotel. I went to China a couple months ago. I showed them reservations for hotels I didn't end up staying in. I canceled them afterwards. But they do want to know. The Chinese visa is a very onerous process. They want to know family members. I mean, they really go into detail. It's about $140. However, since you're only going for the day, I think there's a special visa. It's sort of a transit. You can just go for 72 hours without having to jump through all those hoops. But I think in order to do that, you might have to have a flight through the country. And you're going to Hong Kong, which is technically a different region, and they may not count it. But look into the special visas that they do offer for very short trips. It was designed to let people off a plane to go for a day or two, see something, and then get right back on before staying too long. But if not, unofficially, I'd say show them whatever you can in an itinerary for hotel, and you don't have to stick with it.
She also said to me that I could apply for a visa once I'm in Hong Kong, but I don't want to wait for the last minute on that because it takes a few days.
Yeah, and you know, the nice thing about a Chinese visa is right now they give one to you and it'll be good for multiple entries for a decade. So if you decide to go again within the next 10 years, you'll be done.
So I can just put down, instead of one visit, I can put down...
No, put down one visit. They do it automatically. They just give it to you. It's sort of as a courtesy, and it's not guaranteed, but they've tended to do it lately.
Thank you. Thank
sure.
you.
Thanks, Dave. Have a wonderful trip. We have to take a break. Let me remind everybody, we're taking your calls, as you've heard, at 800-848-9222. But before we go, you know, a lot of people were in trouble this week because of the weather. They didn't get where they were going. Some got stuck. Some had hotel bills because of it. If they had travel insurance, say from Allianz, they would have had help on their side. Allianz protects you when your plane is delayed, when your luggage is lost, when you get sick while you're traveling. To learn about all of their policies, go to Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, only here where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Welcome back to The Travel Show. I'm Jason Cochran, and Pauline Frommer is joining us from Paris. But if you want to join us, the number is 800-848-9222. We've been talking about a lot of things, but one of the things we are enjoying talking about the most is Paris, because that's where Pauline is and how wonderful it is. So, Pauline, what have you been doing this week that you had never done before in Paris?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I've been revisiting a lot of places because I'm traveling with my daughter and a friend of hers, And the last time my daughter was in Paris, she was in my stomach. So this is her first real trip. But I let her plan everything. I'm just sitting back and enjoying. Well, not everything, because I am doing a couple of new things. I'll talk about that. But it's interesting. I'm not a person who likes going to the same places over and over. But in Paris, seeing it through her eyes has been absolutely magical. We went to my favorite site in Paris, which is Saint-Chapelle, which is this extraordinary church in which the walls are almost entirely made of stained glass. And you get there and you walk in and the light is shining through them and the jewel tones are extraordinary and it feels like you could just fly right up to heaven. It's that magical a place. First, you go to the lower chapel, which was built for the servants, and it's very beautiful, too. But you walk from the lower chapel up this winding stone staircase, and as we got to the top, my daughter was in front, and I just heard her gasp out loud and say, "Oh, my goodness." And I could tell that, you know, she's blasé. She's a teenager.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
It struck her. She's 15.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It struck her in the same way that it always strikes me. But she did a lot of research, and she's introducing me to some new places. We're going to the trendiest restaurants in town. Not all French. We had Japanese last night. It was delicious. It was amazing. So what I've been doing new is I'm doing an article on the fact that in just the last couple of years, a whole slew of different websites have popped up helping people have one-day tours and other kinds of experiences. They have names like GetMyGuide.com, Airbnb Experiences, GoWithALocal.com. And so what I did was I booked a lot of experiences through those to see how they were. And the funny thing I found out was these experiences have been around for the most part for decades. These sites aren't creating new experiences.
Just packaging them differently, yeah.
They're just packaging them differently. So, and I'm also finding out that you're kind of a sucker sometimes to book through these sites because they take a huge chunk out of what these guides make. And so the guides charge much less if you book directly. And it's really it's easy to game the system. For example, I took a cooking class today, a fabulous cooking class. I found it on Viator.com, but they put in the address of the cooking school. So I put that into Google, found out what the cooking school was, and booked it through direct for $30 less.
Tricky, but I like it. I like it. Yeah, and sometimes I've done that with Hotwire. You can kind of figure out where the hotel is by its amenities, book it directly, sometimes cheaper. Yeah. That's good tip.
Absolutely. So I've been doing that. We actually did two cooking classes. Both my daughter and I are big cooks. She's a real baker. So we did a macaron class. And oh my goodness, I now understand why macarons are so expensive. It takes 40 million steps to make them, and you need gelatin, and you need dye, and you need this, and you need that. And bizarrely, and this is great for anybody who's traveling to Paris, you know how incredibly delicious the macaroons are. Mm-hmm. What they do is they put them in the freezer, because this is the only cookie that gets better if it's cold. So you could bring home a huge box of macarons from Paris, put them in the freezer and enjoy them for months, and they'll still taste as good. You want to get them back to room temperature before you eat them. So that was terrific. And then I went on a market tour and cooking class today with a company called Le Foodiste, who's the man running the class was an extraordinary historian. We went to a cheese shop, and he told us the history of France through cheese.
All right.
So, for example, when the Moors tried to conquer France, around the same time they were conquering Spain, they got stopped by the Loire River, which was too wide for them to cross. And Charlemagne's father, who was named Charles the Hammer, he came down and hammered them. And as they tried to escape, they left their goats. And that's why France has goat cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating stuff. It's really good. It's been really eye-opening, and I learned how to sous vide chicken without a fancy sous vide machine. So just really incredible adventures of all sorts. And it's always so wonderful to be in Paris. I'm staying in an Airbnb, and it's a real Parisian Airbnb. It's in one of those glorious Haussmann buildings with the mansard roof. And my host has oil paintings everywhere, and every corner is crammed with books. And there are chandeliers and molding, and it's maybe $100 a night.
Wow.
It's small, but it's pretty.
And so we're going to read your report on the experiences that you've been doing on Fromers.com in a few weeks. Is that right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to talk about some of the classes I did and really how to strategize these classes. I know we should take another break. So, yes, you'll get that on Fromers.com, but there are other places you can go for Fromers material. I'm talking about Allianz Travel Insurance. They are now providing the users of their policies with material from us on the best itineraries, how to see the top sites in each destination, and more. To learn more about this, go to Allianz TravelInsurance.com. That's Allianz TravelInsurance.com.
This is the Fromer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Today's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz TravelInsurance.com. And let's get back to the phones. Let me remind everybody of our number. It's 800-848-WABC, which translates to 800-848-9222. That is the number that Claudia called. Claudia is calling from White Plains. Hey, Claudia, thanks for calling.
Hi, Pauline. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. My husband and my 11-year-old daughter and I kind of last minute decided to take a trip, and we're going to Nashville and Memphis. We're going to go to Graceland and the Grand Ole Opry, and we're staying very near both of those places. And I was just wondering if you had your top three things to do in either of those areas.
Well, in Nashville, I really love the Country Music Hall of Fame. And I like country music, but I'm not a huge fan. I'm not obsessed with it. But it's a really well-done history museum. And you kind of see the history of the United States through the lens of country music. And you also see some really cool artifacts, like Elvis Presley's famous Cadillac and people's guitars, and it's a lot of fun. As well, there's the Parthenon there, believe it or not. They have a full-size replica of the Parthenon, which is a hoot to visit.
Right.
And you're going to want to wander up and down Broadway, which is this another real honky-tonk of a street where there are bootmakers and all kinds of music places and little museums to people like Johnny, what's his name?
Cash?
He sings Johnny Cash.
Yeah, he's got his own museum there.
He's got a good museum there. So, yeah, just let yourself really go country while you're in Nashville,
the Hermitage, or Hermitage, how do you say it? It's where Andrew Jackson lived.
Right.
And so that's worth going to learn a lot. He was one of the most controversial presidents of the 1800s. So it's actually a very fascinating place to look at his mindset and the frontier sort of spirit that he seemed to embody for a lot of people back then. Now in Memphis, I got to say, obviously you're hitting Graceland. That's important for children of that generation, right? But the National Civil Rights Museum is also just as important. This is where MLK was shot, and the old Lorraine Motel. The guy who owned the motel knew it was a very important thing that had happened, and he basically sealed up the room that he was staying in with Abernathy and preserved it for years until I think it was maybe the early 90s. It was finally unsealed, and they made it part of a giant new museum. The rest of the motel was also turned into the National Civil Rights Museum. It is fascinating. It tracks race relations, you know, from the American beginnings to now, but in a very, very authentic setting. And the motel face is still there. It's interesting. All the pictures you've seen of that moment are just right there in front of you.
Wow.
So I really recommend it. And Sun Studio, where Elvis first recorded That's All Right Mama and so many other people recorded. That's another great thing to dip into in Memphis, because, you know, he didn't do all of his stuff in Nashville. Memphis is where he sort of got his start after leaving Mississippi.
Terrific. Thank you so much. This
is
great.
Sure. Let's move to Wade in Staten Island. Hey, Wade, thank you for calling.
Wade, hi. You're live on air. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. How are you?
Yes, now we can.
Yes, I would like to know if it's safe to visit Paris.
Pauline.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, as we know, as New Yorkers, attacks can happen anywhere. When you're on the streets in the major tourist sites, security is very visible. There are police with big guns. They check your bags before going into Notre Dame, before going up to the top of the Arc de Triomphe or the Eiffel Tower. You know, they're being very safe now. But the reasons I've talked with say that they're actually putting more of their money into cybersecurity, trying to ferret out the terrorist cells.
I wear a kippah. Yeah. I'm Jewish, and I heard it's very unsafe for Jews in Paris now. They're all leaving, the people that live there that are Jewish. It's in the paper.
Oh, boy. Well, I have cousins who live in Paris who are Jewish, and they would never dream of living elsewhere. Yes, there have been some bad incidents, which are unfortunate, but I wouldn't let it dissuade you from going. I think those are the exception, not the rule. I think for the most part, this remains an incredibly safe city, and one in which I think it's 60 million people come to visit each year, with nary an incident in the last year and a half. So I'd say don't take it off your list because of that.
Okay.
I hope that helps, Wade. Thank you for calling. Let's talk to Pam in Manhattan. Hey, Pam, I hear you have a suggestion for me.
Pam,
are you there?
Hi, Pam. Are you live with us? No, I guess we've lost Pam, or we're going to get her in a second. But when she's on, we will make sure to take her call. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 800-848-WABC. That translates to 800-848-9222. Pam, hi. I think we've got you now. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad also that I found you. I used to listen to you on an old station. But Pauline, because it's your daughter's first time, really, in Paris, two oldies but goodies, I'm sure you've been there. Angelina's has...
Oh, yes. We're going to do that. Go ahead. Give your recommendation.
For the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world, even though I haven't been in the... And we love the Tuileries. You know, it might be a little chilly for you, but it's such a beautiful park. Have you been to the Tuileries?
I have many times. I have to say, nothing's blooming here yet. It has been so cold. They've had a crazy spring, just like we have in New York. They had snow just a couple of days ago. So we've been thinking of doing the gardens, but the winds are so bitter. We went to the top of the Eiffel Tower. I thought we'd blow off. It was so freezing cold. We actually couldn't stay outside for too long. We went up to the top and mostly stayed in the indoor viewing area just because it took such courage to go out there in those winds. But
I'm
anyway.
Sorry to hear that. Have you taken her to Versailles yet?
No, I'm not sure we're going to do Versailles. I personally feel like Versailles is a bit overloved. You go there and it feels like Grand Central Station. The crowds are so thick. And those constant booming announcements, watch out for pickpockets. It kind of kills it for me. I prefer Fontainebleau. That's another castle from the French kings. But Napoleon also had impressive history there. And it gets probably half as many visitors as Versailles. So I think we'll probably do that instead of Versailles.
Well, if you have a minute, I have a question.
Yes,
really.
Please, Pam, absolutely.
Sure. About Alaska. We are very anxious to go. We want to do a small ship, but we don't want to be just with older people, even though we are older people. We like, you know, a lot of hustle and bustle, but there's so many choices. There's Sitka, there's Skagway, there's Juneau. I'm having trouble picking an actual destination. And also, do you have a recommendation on Azamara Club Cruises? Have you ever heard of it?
Absolutely, we've heard of it. It's owned by Royal Caribbean. Oh, not Royal Caribbean. It's owned by Celebrity.
Yeah.
And it's a really terrific brand.
Yeah, it's good.
I think you'll get a good mix of ages on it.
It's a good size, too. It's not too big and not too small.
Oh, good.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, in terms of all those sites, those are the main ports that you'll see. Are you talking about shore excursions that you're having trouble deciding on, or the cruise itinerary?
The cruise itinerary, like every place, I shouldn't say every, most places include the inside passage.
Passage.
Is that a must?
Yes, that's part of the classic Alaskan cruise. I mean, it's not so much, part of the joy of taking an Alaskan cruise isn't the shore excursions, actually. It's what you're going to see from the ship. And when you're in the inside passage, you're going to see whales breaching and glaciers calving and bears on the shore catching fish. I mean, you're going to see areas of Alaska that you can't get to except by seaplane or cruise ship. So it's a wonderful thing to do.
So how do I find out how we get to see the calving?
You know what? This is going to sound self-serving, but...
No, but get your book.
We have a new book out. It just came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
It's called Frommer's Easy Guide to Alaskan Cruising. And it will answer all of your questions better than I can. It's written by two real experts. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take a break.
Thank you so much.
Let me remind everybody, 800-848-9222 is our number. We will be right back.
The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz, travelinsurance.com.
And we know you've got some travel questions because the summer's coming up. You're probably thinking of taking some trips. We've been talking a lot about Paris, but we can talk about more. Give us a call, 800-848-9222. Kathy, though, has a question about Paris, and she is calling from Bernardsville. Hey, Kathy, you're live on the air.
Hi. It's such a coincidence. I'm going to Paris with my daughter, who's 30, though, in the beginning of April. So I have two questions. One is, how much cash would you take, you know, like in euros? And also, like, are most things, can you charge most things with a credit card, you know, like when you're out to eat and cabs and
You can charge most everything except for when it's an unmanned kiosk, like in the metro. You'll have to go either pay in cash or go up to the window to get tickets. But everywhere else, they will take our cards and you will just use your signature. As for how much cash, no more than 100 euros. You're going to find ATM machines everywhere here. The one thing you're going to have to worry about in April is strikes. There are a lot of strikes planned, so that could affect you trying to get in from the airport. So make sure you have another idea of how to do that. Maybe do Uber. It could affect you if you want to take a train to a neighboring town. They are posting the dates of some of the strikes, but this is what the French do. It's very interesting. The transit workers are striking because the government wants to give anybody who is hired worse benefits than the people working now, and the people working now, the goodness of their hearts, don't want that to happen to the next generation. So there's going to be this rolling series of strikes, so be careful.
Yeah, you find this often in Paris. It's just sort of culturally how it works. They let their feelings known through mass action. I mean, I guess you can look on the news channel right now this afternoon and see people doing the same thing in the U.S., but it is a regular part of French culture all the time.
Wow, that's interesting. Because we are planning to go down to Orleans for a day or two because I have business down there. And so I was planning to take a train. So what
look online, look online and make sure that the dates you were thinking of doing that, that they don't have strikes planned. I mean, they're being nice about it. They are telling in advance when the strikes will be happening. So you should be able to find that info online. Have a wonderful time, Kathy. I hope
that
helps. Sure. Let's talk to Elliot in Chestnut Ridge.
Hi, hey, Elliot.
Elliot, nice to speak with you.
Bonjour, Pauline and Jason.
Hi.
Bonjour, Elliot.
Bonjour. In 1967, my wife and I were on our honeymoon in Paris. And one nice sunny day in April, we took the Bateau Mouche on the Seine River. Well, as we were going under a bridge, a group of students mooned us, and they started throwing garbage and lettuce and tomatoes at the people on the deck. I'm wondering if they still do that.
I have not been hit by garbage here, but that's a fascinating memory. You know, there's a whole different zeitgeist in Paris. They're actually pretty nice to travelers. It may be because I do my darndest to speak to them in French, and I'm accompanied everybody by two gorgeous teenage girls. I'm sure that helps.
And you have macaroons.
And I have macaroons to give out. But it's a kinder, gentler city than it used to be.
I hope so.
Yes, it definitely is. It definitely
is. And that was the late 60s. You know, Paris, especially in the late 60s, student uprisings were, you know, kind of like strikes. They were having them all the time in Paris. It, again, became part of the culture of that generation. Not so bad today.
You haven't lived unless you've been mooned, I guess.
Or lived until you've mooned, I suppose. Thank you so much, Elliot. I love it when Elliot calls.
Okay.
You guys can call, too. Please do. We have another segment left and plenty of time to answer your questions or hear your moon stories. 800-848-9222. We'll take those calls right after these messages.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Travel Show. I'm Jason Cochran with Pauline Fromer calling in from Paris. No, in this segment, I will not be singing Moon River. If you don't get that joke, download the podcast of this broadcast. You will then. We have one caller, but we have a space for more. 800-848-9222. But Lucille has been patiently waiting through our break. And so, Lucille, we'd love to talk to you now. You're live on the air. Lucille?
Yes, thank you for taking the call. We're a family of 10. And we're the grandparents, children, and grandchildren. And this is our third trip to Italy. And my husband and I, my husband is from Italy. We've been there many, many times, but we've never really stayed in Tropea in Calabria. We've only gone through the area going over to Sicily. So my question is, we're not sure whether we should stay in Tropea or on the outskirts of Tropea.
It really depends on what kind of experience you're looking for. I mean, it's a beautiful region. There are three national parks there, and I love the countryside of Italy. And this is a poorer part of Italy. The city centers are really the outskirts of the city centers can be not iffy, but not, it's different than Rome. It's different than Florence. I don't know. How many people will you be traveling with?
We're 10. And
we're 10. Why don't you rent a villa? I would think a villa in the countryside would be ideal, especially when the countryside is as gloriously beautiful as it is in this region. I think you'll have an easier time and it'll be less expensive doing that rather than staying right in the center.
Well, the idea is that they want to be near the beaches.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, you can do that. Yeah, I mean, you'll have to drive in and out. It's hard to say. I don't think you can go wrong. I would do the countryside and maybe drive to the beaches. It seems odd to go all the way to Italy just for the beaches. I mean, you're going to want to have a car to see the sights and to maybe go hiking in those national parks and to see and do a lot of things. So that's what I would do. I hope this helps, Lucille. We thank you so much for calling. So, Jason, I want to talk a little bit more about Paris before I go. You know, There are places that you go back to over and over and over. And every time you see something new and you do something new and you learn something new, whether it may be silly, like one of the experiences I decided to have here is I am doing a trip with a stylist. I did it already with my daughter. And then thanks to a listener to this show, I'm going to do a second one just so I can compare the two. And I learned for the first time how to tie a scarf. It sounds silly, but Parisian women, they pull together their look so magnificently with these colorful scarves that make any outfit so much more chic.
And beautiful fabrics. I mean, their entire shop's full of these gorgeous things, too. I mean,
yes,
it makes me jealous.
And I learned that you have to make them uneven. You don't want them to look too perfect. I've been trying to make them look totally consistent, one side to the next, and that's the opposite of what you want them to do. The Parisian chic has to do with having a perfect fit, not too much cleavage, not too much showing off, but absolutely gorgeous. Mm. And that's what you feel wandering around these streets, even in the cold. It's wonderful to be in a place that really loves beauty, that loves the life of the mind, staying in an apartment surrounded by literally probably 1,000 books. There's something heartwarming about that and that way of approaching life. And you go to these restaurants and you have meals that somebody spent years learning how to do. Actually an interesting thing. In Paris, or in France, I should say, there are now cooking shows just like in the United States and Britain. And so a lot of these new restaurants and especially new pastry shops are being opened by people who did not rise through the ranks, who did not work as a sous chef first for a famous chef, but simply, you know, were a home chef, made it big on one of these cooking shows. And because of that, there's been this whole infusion of really interesting new strands into the cuisine here. That's one of the reasons I did a Japanese restaurant last night. So even if you've been to Paris, and I'm not working for Paris, I'm paying for this whole darn trip, and it can be expensive. Although I got to say, the airfare, I got it for $400 and change round trip.
Oh, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I chose Paris. The main reason was my daughter needs to practice her French. She's taking it in school, and we were looking at either a French Caribbean island or Paris, and Paris was cheaper when I looked at the airfare and staying at an Airbnb.
Was that an airfare with a checked bag, or did you have to carry on?
I could have checked my bag. Wow. I got it through Finnair, which means I flew British Airways one way, and I'll be flying American back. Bizarrely enough, even though it's Finnair. But I saw extraordinary prices through Norwegian, through British Airways. There's been a real softening in terms of the airfares to Europe and to Asia. You can get extraordinary deals right now. So don't put off going to Europe. It'll rise as we get closer to summer. But for right now, it really is it's a steal getting here and staying here.
Well, that's really great advice to wrap up the show with. Look for cheap airfares. They're easy to be found right now. Thank you so much for listening to the Fromer Travel Show this week, and we'll be here again with you next week. And until then, we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.